Talk Central is brought to you by CloudGate, a micro mega company. All the power of a PC, the flexibility of Android, all at a fraction of the cost. For home, work, or play, available at takealot.com or cloudgate.co.za for only 1,999 Rand.
I'm Rechard van den Berg.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central episode 108 for the weekend starting Friday, 22 August 2014.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, where you'll find South Africa's best technology journalism. Look for us on Twitter at Tech Central.
On Google Plus at Plus Tech Central.
And on Facebook at Tech Central ZA.
On Talk Central this week, we talk about job cuts at MTN.
We also chat about Telkom's wholesale VDSL price cuts, Takealot's acquisition of Superbalist, and OneDrop's attempt to be the Uber of deliveries.
As always, we pick the week's biggest winner and biggest loser, and Duncan and I will pick our product or app of the week.
That's right, but first we need to pay the bills. We'll be back in just a moment.
Tired of no internet connection, no line availability, no signal? Then say yah. Say yah to cutting-edge technology. Say yah to satellite internet access. Say yah to high speed. Say yah to always on. Say yah to reliable. Say yah to affordable. Say yah to quick installation. Say yah to YahClick satellite internet access. And you could be saying yah to free hardware and installation. YahClick, available from Vox Telecom and Atlantic. SMS your name to 48484 and we'll call you right back. Standard rates apply.
Well, hi, Rechard.
How's it doing?
Very good, thanks. You unfortunately were down. Man down with flu pretty much the whole of last week, so we didn't get a chance to record the podcast, but back in the office this week and strong.
Yeah, and there's been some good stories this week too, so yeah.
There have indeed. Excited. There have been some good stories. So let's actually some good news from Telkom this week, follows an interview we did with them on Thursday with the Chief Technology Officer, Alfonso Samuels, and Telkom is cutting VDSL wholesale prices. That's what the internet service providers
get charged.
And I think we can, and Telkom's retail arm, of course, and I think we can pretty much look forward to some cuts in line rental charges for high-speed broadband, 20 and 40 megabit per second services.
Not that we're getting those services already.
No, indeed. In fact, it's something we bemoan quite often here in the Tech Central offices, where we can only get speeds, theoretically anyway, of up to 10 megs a second. No VDSL in this particular part of Randburg where our offices are based. But good news anyway. I mean, the VDSL footprint isn't that big yet, but it's good to see Telkom cutting prices to attain an effort to stimulate market demand, and hopefully we're going to see more of this from Telkom in the months ahead.
Yeah, I think the next move that I would love to see from them is just I know that it's probably not going to be possible, but to see a cut in the normal ADSL and the line rental prices, that would make a big move already.
Well, I don't think we're going to see any cuts in basic voice line rental. Telkom consistently puts that up every year. We haven't seen much decline in the rest of the ADSL line rental fees in the past little while. In fact, we've seen some small increases over the past year or two. But we are seeing quite a change Telkom here in the last little while under the new group CEO, Sipho Maseko. So hopefully what we're seeing here with the VDSL price cuts, and they're quite aggressive, up to 37% on the top-end product, down to 375 Rand a month for wholesale line rental, which is not bad for a 40 meg product.
Oh, definitely. I think it'll stimulate the uptake of services in those areas where it is available and get more people onto that network, and hopefully then assist with increasing the reach of those products.
Yes.
To more suburbs.
Yes, indeed. So, 300 Rand for the 20 meg. That's the wholesale price, I must emphasize, and it excludes VAT. 375 for the 40 meg product. That's price cuts respectively of 22.5% and 37%.
Yeah.
And I've got no doubt that ISPs are going to pass these on to consumers in short order. So a good development, I think, from Telkom. More of the same, please, guys.
Yes, definitely. I second that.
Not such a positive news story is the developments. Also, a story we broke yesterday or Thursday. Had a good news day yesterday, didn't
yes,
we?
Yes.
That there are going to be job cuts at MTN. Sources are telling us that it could affect as many as 400 MTN staffers, and this comes on top of 1,000 people who were let go of in the second half of last year. The people let go of last year were mainly contractors, so not full-time employees. Although I'm sure it still hurt the company. Further 400, this is probably mainly full-time employees of MTN. This as the competition in South Africa's mobile market intensifies. And I think perhaps some people have suggested that MTN was a bit slower than Vodacom in addressing some of the cost issues. And perhaps it's having to be more aggressive certainly cut quicker than perhaps it would have liked to, given the changing nature of the mobile market in South Africa. And certainly MTN seems to have been the worst affected and the most ill-prepared to deal with the price war that's erupted in this industry. And we've certainly seen that in the market share numbers, certainly from a active SIM card market share perspective, where Cell C's picked up a lot of market share, and which MTN appears to have lost. So there seems to be a straight switch from MTN across to Cell C.
Yeah, it is sad news, but I do think it's going to give the company opportunity to become a leaner business. And hopefully that'll translate into better services that the businesses offers consumers, and lower hopefully prices. Also lower prices
at a sustainable level. I think it's inevitable that we're going to see this in this industry. Arguably, there was too much bloat in the mobile industry for a long time, sustained by prepaid rates that were above 2 rand a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
Those days are over. We've seen a real correction. A real downward shift in voice tariffs. We're seeing a downward pressure on data too, but I think there's a lot more there that can still be cut. I think we may have reached the floor in terms of where we could go on voice. I think the sort of 50 to 60 cents a minute level that the industry's reached now is probably the floor, certainly in a prepaid perspective.
Yeah,
I can't see it going much further than this without starting to cause real damage to the industry.
Oh, definitely. And it can't be cheap to run any of these networks to begin with, let's be honest.
And it's getting more expensive all the time because the price of petrol is going up, the price of electricity is going up, the price of labor is going up. It costs a lot of money to put up these base stations, and they've got to continue to invest in their networks. In fact, they've got to densify their networks for broadband.
So
it's not cheap, no. So,
and I've worked with a few big corporates across various industries, and it's remarkable to see how many chefs are in the kitchen in some of these businesses. and I think that's a problem that MTM also has. And so cutting jobs unfortunately means people are out of jobs, but it also means that the business would be able to run more agile and hopefully become better corporates.
Yes, indeed. I mean, there's so many perks I've seen in some of these companies. I'm not going to mention any of them, but at one of the mobile operators, for example, the top management have their own drivers to drive them around town, that sort of thing.
That's ridiculous.
Just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, obvious costs that can just be removed from the system. And I think we've seen a lot of those costs being removed by Vodacom. Certainly, we've seen cost cutting happening at Telkom as well.
Yeah.
Cell C, I think, is already a very lean operator. It has to be. A nimble operator is the third player which is still struggling to turn a net profit. And I think MTN has been a bit late to the party, to the cost cutting party. So playing a bit of catch up. Short term pain. It's always sad for people to lose their jobs. But if it means it's going to be a much more nimble operator in future. And we're going to have a much more efficient marketplace, then that has to be a win for consumers down the line.
Yeah, definitely, I agree. And yeah, if we do see better prices, and hopefully, the intellectual property that goes with these people won't get wasted, giving people the opportunity to potentially start their own businesses or around within the industry.
That's
a positive takeout.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to see. I'm sure we're going to see some interesting. Some interesting startups happening as guys move out of these. And there's some really smart talent in these companies, which I'm sure these guys don't want to lose, but it's inevitable that it'll happen as part of these cost-cutting initiatives. You'll see people leaving of their own accord because they don't like to work in environments like that, the cost-cutting sort of environment. It's actually a pretty depressing environment to work in. And I think we're going to see some interesting tech startups coming out of some of the guys who are going to be leaving MTN.
Yeah, definitely. And this is a time to launch it, guys. So let's see them.
Good. Moving right along. Rafat, you've got a view on this. Yeah, Takealot's acquisition of Superbalist. I have to admit that that I'd never heard of Superbalist until the acquisition was announced this week.
But
I used to know what they used to be called, which was City Mob.
Yes.
I didn't realize they'd actually changed their name. But you know them better than I do. They claim to be aimed at millennials. I had to look that one up in the dictionary. on the internet, rather.
Yeah, yeah.
But what are they? They seem to be a curated fashion store.
That's yeah, exactly. They not a fashion store so much. They're a curated store. And essentially what they do is they've got a variety of products from home decor to clothing to lamps and gadgets and cell phone covers, and they even sell Lego on their store. But what I like about them is it's because it's a curated store, the kind of products they have is very interesting. It's generally very varied, and they often have limited product ranges or product versions, and relatively good prices, I've found. In my circle of friends, I know a couple of people that buy stuff for their house from Superbalist. And it's often stuff that you don't see elsewhere online in the South African commerce space. They're obviously based in Cape Town, which means there's a specific certain type of look and feel to the company and the kind of thing they do. And I think they have a very large following. They certainly seem to be popular amongst many e-commerce shoppers. Yeah, no, it's a great store. If you haven't seen it, check out superbulous.com. I think it was a very good move by takealot.com to purchase them. They have a very specific clientele, and I don't see them going anywhere. They are very popular within that market space.
Yeah.
And they do have good stuff. They've got some very interesting things.
So what does Takealot want with them? What does Takealot get?
Well, I mean, I think they're getting the client base, and those people obviously could translate into Takealot customers. But Takealot could also sell a lot of their products on the Superbulous platform. You know, especially the more unique kind of products. And you could also say that it's a move that Takealot's doing just to secure that market space so that nobody else purchases them. We've certainly seen that kind of behavior from big business before.
Takealot is certainly getting quite aggressive. I mean, they got this 1 billion rand plus, $100 million plus investment from Tiger Global Management.
Yes.
You know, they've certainly upped their marketing spend. I hear Takealot on the radio all the time now. They're certainly spending some big money to raise their profile. I've always seen them traditionally as a bit of a smaller player, not a much smaller player, but a bit of a smaller player to nice bashes Kalahari.com. But they're clearly on a mission to become the biggest e-retailer in South Africa and pushing hard in that direction. And I think this acquisition, and no doubt with funds from Tiger, is part of that plan to build up bulk and to transform the business into South Africa's leading e-retailer and in the process overtake Kalahari.com.
Yeah, and they're certainly doing it by a divide and conquer tactic. But you know, there aren't that many really good e-commerce players in South Africa. Superbulous is certainly one of them. They may be smaller, but they're doing ridiculously well for themselves. And it's a good move because now they're getting to secure another angle to the e-commerce space in South Africa. Somebody would have bought Superbulous if Takealot didn't. So yeah, they secured that spot for themselves. And I hope they don't change anything about it. Yeah. They said they're not going to. They'll keep the teams and let them run their own business.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting one. I'm going to be watching Takealot with a great deal of interest. I'm already a Takealot shopper. They're the first online store I go to if I'm looking for some generalist sort of products in South Africa. Just simply because they're cheaper than Kalahari.
Yeah. Yeah.
And their delivery is excellent. They own Mr. Delivery, or Mr. D as it's now called. And, you know, I've never had anything but a good experience from Takealot. Orders I've had that they often arrive the very next day.
Yeah. I've also had a few very good experiences, even in the early days when I remember picking up stuff from the Cape Town, one of the Cape Town branches.
They used to be called Take Two.
Take Two, yeah, that's it. And they've always had good customer service. You know, they certainly started as the alternative players in the e-commerce space, and they knew that they were the second players.
Yeah.
And they just used the opportunity to up their customer service.
Well, it's definitely, I mean, this is going to be a big war now between Takealot and Kalahari, and it can only be good for online customers, online shoppers.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
But speaking of deliveries, OneDrop is a new startup that we've seen.
You spoke to them this week. I didn't know much about them until you filed your copy, actually, and they're actually a really interesting little startup from Cape Town as well. And they're attempting to be what they say the Uber of deliveries. Just tell us a bit more about them.
Yeah, it's actually such a good concept. And they're launching in Cape Town because obviously Cape Town's got a very specific demographic, and you can get away with a lot of kind of shorter distance deliveries in a city like Cape Town, because it's, you know, a lot of the businesses are surrounded in a very small part of the city, or at least in a city that's very easily reachable. But essentially, what OneDrop is, it's going to be launching in the next 10 days or so. And it is an application that allows you to call a delivery vehicle or delivery courier to pick up a package from you and deliver it to the destination. They're focusing on short haul, so about 5 Ks. They said minimum charge will be 35 Rand. But it's really taken an age-old concept of pickup and delivery and appifying it and making it really easy and transparent for people to use. They are focusing on a lot of business, so business-to-business deliveries, accounting firms wanting to drop off paperwork and that kind of thing. But they've also spoke to the fact that they are developing APIs that will allow businesses to have OneDrop as a checkout option. That will give any business or any e-tailer, you know, the option to give their customers a OneDrop delivery service. I'm really looking forward to seeing what more they'll be bringing to the delivery party. Yes, they'll be launching in Johannesburg too next year, and then they've got big plans to expand to Africa and Middle East. They certainly seem to know the industry quite well and know what they want to achieve. It's certainly a company to keep an eye on.
They're coming to Joburg in April, hey?
Yes, next year.
April next year.
And like Uber, basically you fire up the app, set a pickup and drop off location. When the courier picks it up, he will, or when he delivers the product, actually, there's no labels involved. They'll take a photograph of the business card of the person they're delivering to or of the person.
Mm.
And you get sent that in your receipt. So you know who is going to go to, you know that it's been delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And with the maps on the app, you know, you always know where your package is. And
it's
the way things are going. It worked well for Uber, and I can certainly see, this is going to work very well for South African-based OneDrop.
Yeah, no, it looks like it's one of the more interesting startups I've seen, I must say, in the last few months. So keep an eye on them. What's the website? OneDrop.com?
Yeah, OneDrop.com. They're only launching in the next 10 days or so. So okay. If you listen to this podcast today or over this weekend, they won't be available yet. But give it a chance till the end of the month, and you'll see some good stuff coming from OneDrop.
Good stuff. All right, let's move on to our features, Rehat. Our first regular feature of the week is our winner and loser. Our winner this week, I think we've spoken about them already, but they're the obvious one this week. Who are they?
Telkom for their wholesale DSL price cuts.
Who would have thought we'd be picking Telkom as a winner? well done, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Well done. Let's see more of that.
For sure. And our loser this week is quite broad, but we're trying to figure out who we can pin this one on, and that's the continued mess in South Africa's migration from analog to digital television. The latest being this dispute that's apparently flared up between the new communications minister Faith Mutambi and the telecommunications and postal services minister Siyabonga Ngcwele.
Yeah.
Basically over territory, over who is going to manage the DTT process. Siyabonga Ngcwele apparently tried to move ahead with the process and raised his proposals in a memorandum with Cabinet earlier this month, and was shot down by Faith Mutambi, who basically seems to think that it's her prerogative to run this. Now, analysts are saying that this sort of turf warfare was going to be inevitable when Jacob Zuma decided after the election that he was going to split his Department of Communications into two, a move which really made no sense. We're seeing a turf war which could once again delay the really very long delayed process of digital migration. So for that, our loser this week is the president, Jacob Zuma.
Yeah, unfortunately, but they kind of started a mess that it's going to have to play out in its own terms.
Yeah, I still can't see another way out of this, except what I think Alison Gilwald proposed, and that's that the president backtrack on his decision to split these departments and simply remerge them again.
Let's hope, but I don't see that as a likely solution.
No,
that'll be admitting something.
Indeed. Anyway, what's your? Let's move on to that feature. What's your product pick this week?
My app pick is an iPad app, and funny enough, it was inspired or developed by Tom Hanks. It's an app called Hanks Writer, and essentially, I know it's very strange, but essentially, it is a old school style typewriter for your iPad. And it's not the most groundbreaking technology or anything interesting like that, but it's just a nostalgic way of writing. So once you've installed the app, it looks like an old school typewriter on your iPad. You can let loose and start typing as you would normally do. Now, for some reason, there is sound with this, but I'm not getting it on my iPad now. I don't know what's wrong. I did reboot, but essentially, you can type. It's an old-school typewriter. It's an old-school font. And when you get to the end of the line, you just slide back to the next line. It's a novel app.
Really appeal to old school writers. I can see Gus Silber enjoying that app.
Definitely. When you go to a coffee shop, this is the kind of app you want to fire up and writing a poem or two, or your memoirs. It's called Hanks Writer. It's a nice app.
With an X, right?
Hanks, H-A-N-X Writer. The app is free, but there are some in-app purchases that will enhance some of the functionality. You can get different typewriter styles and different background color for your pages, ribbon color for your ink and that kind of thing. It's a fun app. If you ever typed on an old school typewriter, it's certainly worth checking out.
Great. Well, my pick this week is a game, a very addictive game called Quiz Up. It's quite popular. I'm just fired it up here. It's basically an online pub quiz, if you like, without the pub. you can challenge people all over the world to any range of categories. I like to play the Africa one. It asks you questions about the continent, and I think I like playing it because I usually win it, especially playing against Americans. But it's a really fun game, and it's online. If you've got 5 minutes to kill while standing in the queue at the post office, then just fire this game up, and it's so completely addictive if you've got some time to kill. I've just fired up a game now. It's firing up Africa round one. It says get ready. It's found some guy called Zulu. That could be a problem. Right. Which country is bordered by Egypt, Sudan, Chad, Niger, Algeria, and Tunisia? Whoops, too slow. Also was Libya. Let's try the next one, see if I can get the one a bit quicker. Round two. What is the proper name for somebody from the Ivory Coast? That'd be an Ivorian, I think. Yes, 18 points. My rival, unfortunately, has got the first two questions correct already, and in good time, so he's leading 34-18. What is the longest river in South Africa? Limpopo, Nile, Zambezi, or Orange? That'll be the Orange. Yeah. Let's answer that. Unfortunately, my competitor got it right too, so it's now 54 points to him and 33 to me. On to round four. What noted city contains both a famous lighthouse and a library? That would be Alexandria. Correct. 50 points. Competitor has 74. And we're on to round five. I think there's six rounds in total, so let's finish this. Which other African country is Mauritius closest to? Good question. I think that would be either Mozambique, Nigeria, Guinea-Bissau, Angola. It must be Mozambique. That's right, 64 points to me, 93 points to my competitor. Round six. Approximately how long is the shoreline of Africa's Lake Victoria? 200 miles, 20 miles, 2,000 miles, or 2 miles? I think it must be 2,000 miles. That's right, 79 points to me. Unfortunately, my competitor now has 112. Last round, double points. Which of these was not a former name of an African colony? Spanish Guinea, French Guinea, British Guinea, or Portuguese Guinea? I'm not sure. Let's go with French Guinea. No, that's wrong. British Guinea. And I lose horribly. 79 points. The winner goes away with 146. But it's completely addictive.
That's a cool app.
And you can rematch. I actually played this Africa game against... it's Africa category against a player. I forget where she was from. North Africa somewhere. And we went at it for about 25 games.
Nice.
And eventually ended up having a chat because there's IM functionality built into the client as well.
Right.
And you can just keep rematching against the same opponent.
Yes.
Or you can walk away and find some other category if you get bored. But it's a fantastic game and wonderful way to pass time. So it's called Quiz Up. It runs on Android, iOS, and I'm sure just about every other platform. Yeah. So
it looks brilliant. So, and you can choose your categories, right? So I can do movies or music or
anything you want,
or history, or...
and you can go right down into it. So you could go and answer Rod Stewart questions in the music category, for example. Nice. So you can really specialize and go into.
I love the fact that you're playing against other people. You're not playing against a computer. I'm always a fan of playing against real people.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic.
Brilliant.
So that's Quiz Up. Check it out. I'll mention on the podcast entry on the website which platforms it runs on. Great. Well, I think that covers our entire show notes list for today. Rechot, until next time, if anyone has any feedback on the show, we always welcome your comments and suggestions. You can mail us at info@techcentral.co.za. Until next time, from Rechot and myself, cheers.
Ciao, ciao.